Laudator Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour.
Vento bendito que vem em nome do Senhor.
Bringing you the latest news on Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral journey to Brazil, which began Wednesday 9th of May and ties up on Monday, May 14th. For the record, this is his sixth journey abroad in the course of his two-year pontificate, but the first to the Western Hemisphere. It combines a pastoral visit to two local churches, São Paulo and Aparecida, in a nation where over 43% of the world's Catholics live, and ends with the highlight of the journey, the inauguration of the fifth General Conference of the Episcopal Conferences of Latin America.
Bem-vindo, este povo te acolhe com amor.
That's in Aparecida, where Pope Benedict arrived on Friday, reaching there from São Paulo by helicopter and spending the night at the Bom Jesus Seminary, following in the footsteps of his predecessor to the See of Peter, Pope John Paul II, in July 1980. And where Pope Benedict celebrated Mass in the private chapel on Saturday morning, only to leave there 9:30 local time to cover the 30 kilometres that separate the seminary from a green valley where a rehabilitation centre founded in 1979. Ema McCarthy, who is currently in Brazil, reports on the Fazenda de Esperanza, which draws inspiration from both Franciscan charism and the spirituality of the Focolare movement.
Pope Benedict arrived just shortly after 10 o'clock local time. He arrived at the farm of Guarantingueta, and there he spoke to over 2,000 young people who had gathered at that farm from other fazendas across the world, from Asia, Africa, Central and Latin America, and of course Brazil itself. And there Pope Benedict XVI told them to be ambassadors of hope.
Que nos intercedos fios da vida perde o proprio sentimento de esperança.
These young people are the children of Franciscan Brother Hans Stapel and Nelson Giovanelli Ross, the founders of these farms, these rehabilitation centres where young people who have lost all hope are given a second chance to win back their lives. On his arrival, the Holy Father Paul suggests a cloistered community of the poor clares, who are an essential part of the farm's spiritual life, who live in a convent just further down the valley from the fazenda. He addressed the poor clares in a newly built chapel, a chapel that was built particularly for the Pope's visit and was dedicated to Brazil's first saint, Frei Galvão, who the Holy Father canonized in a solemn ceremony in São Paulo on Friday. Speaking to the poor clares, the Pope reflected that in places where society no longer sees any future or hope, Christians are called to proclaim the power of the resurrection. It is here, in this Fazenda de Esperanza, he said, home to so many, especially young people, who are seeking to overcome drug addiction, alcoholism and chemical dependency, that a clear witness is given to the gospel of Christ amid a consumer society so far removed from God. After this brief prayer with the community of poor clares, Pope Benedict XVI then left the chapel and on foot made his way through the gardens to a football field where the young people were waiting anxiously to say hello to him. They greeted him enthusiastically, joyfully, with song and with dance.
Liberta-nos dos vícios, ajuda-nos com sua mão.
There they presented him gifts, including a ring of solidarity, the same ring that is given to all those who enter the community of hope. The Pope watched and applauded these young men and women's performances and thanked them for their gifts, smiling and waving frequently from the tribal throne that the fazenderos from Aparecida had built for him. Some of the young people, visibly moved, spoke to the Pope, telling him their stories, telling him of their hardships, of their encounter with God at the fazenda, and of their regained hope.
Três jovens da fazenda de Esperança, eu me senti muito amada.
Pope Benedict XVI listened, and embracing them with great affection, he then spoke to them.
Queridos amigos y amigas, eis-me finalmente na fazenda Esperança.
He noted that Brazil's statistics concerning drug abuse and other forms of chemical dependency are very high. He said that the same is true of other Latin American countries. And then in unreserved tones, he urged the drug dealers to reflect on the grave harm that they are inflicting on countless young people and on adults from every level of society. God will call you to account for your deeds, he told them. Human dignity cannot be trampled on in this way. The harm done will receive the same censure that Jesus reserved for those who gave scandal to the little ones, who are, he underlined, the favorites of God. The Pope then turned to the workers of Agenda and of the other thousands of communities throughout the world who dedicate their lives to recovering those who have lost themselves to addiction. He said, through treatment, which includes medical, psychological, and educational assistance, and through much prayer, manual work, and discipline, many people, particularly young people, have already succeeded in freeing themselves from alcohol and drug dependency, thereby recovering meaning in their lives. He expressed his profound appreciation for this work, which has the charism of St. Francis of Assisi and the spirituality of the Focolare movement as its spiritual foundation. The Pope said that reintegration in society undoubtedly demonstrates the effectiveness of the Fazenda's initiatives. Indeed, official statistics say that over 60% of people who enter into the Fazenda community never again return to abuse and addiction. Yet it is the conversion, said the Pope, the rediscovery of God and the active participation in the life of the Church which attract even greater attention and which confirm the importance of this work. He said, it is not enough to care for the body. We must adorn the soul with the most precious divine gifts acquired through baptism. Before taking his leave of the Fazenda, the Pope blessed Brother Hans Stapel and Nelson Giovanelli Ross for having answered God's call to devote their lives to these young people. He also blessed those thousands who had gathered to greet him and affectionately told them to have hope and to be apostles of hope throughout society in the future.
Nima also visited the centre ahead of the Pope's visit and spoke to some of the people there, like Antonio, who told her his story of addiction. Let's listen.
Nestled in the valleys of the Serra Hills to the north of Sao Paulo, there is a farm where they harvest hope. In Brazilian it's called the Fazenda de Esperanza, and the people who live there proudly call themselves fazenderos. But it's no ordinary farm and they are no ordinary people.
I am Nelson Giovanelli, Rosendo dos Santos, and I have begun with Frei Hans Stapel this experience 24 years ago.
Nelson Giovanelli dos Santos is the co-founder of the Fazenda de Esperanza. I met him last week when I traveled there to see why Pope Benedict had chosen to add this unlikely place to the tight schedule of his five-day visit to Brazil.
I lost my house, my work, together with another friends. We rented one house, but in our mind, we have not a farm. Mm-hmm. After, we became one farm, another farm, because the people saw this community and want to help us.
As our bus pulled in across the wooden bridge and the farm came into sight, my first impression was of an idyllic mountain farm surrounded by majestically rising foothills. But with one difference, it was crawling with boys and young men industriously at work, sweeping, hoeing, painting and putting the final touches on outlying wooden cabins. As we came to a stop, one of those young men broke off from the rest and waving came towards us, calling "Bem-vindo," welcome in Portuguese. His name was Marco, and he was to be our guide around the farm that afternoon. Speaking in rapid Portuguese that I could barely understand, he proudly showed us the great wooden stage which he and his fellow fazenderos had built for Pope Benedict, and the traditional tribal throne that had been painstakingly carved. Sitting on the throne was the other founder, German friar Hans Stapel, the spiritual father for the community of boys, young men, and older men, desperate to escape their past and recover their future. For the Fazenda de Esperanza is a rehabilitation center where men, drug addicts and convicted criminals are given a second chance and hope, as Nelson Giovanelli explains.
They come here with their life totally destroyed. They begin to live the gospel and receive this freedom.
The strength.
Our name is Fazenda de Esperanza, Farm of Hope.
24 years on, and Marcos is an example of these children, boys and girls, victims of the devastating poverty which racks the favelas of Brazil's cities. A crack addict since the age of 15, he lost his sister to hepatitis, and his brother, his only remaining family, lives on $60 a month, the social security which the government concedes to people dying of AIDS. It was his brother who first brought Marcos to Nelson and Frei Hans. After a lifetime of drugs, crime and prison, as he faced his death, he decided he didn't want to the last remaining member of his family to become yet another Brazilian statistic, marked up due to its social wounds. Marco had been at the farm for a year now and says that he doesn't want to leave, but that's not the way it works.
They come here and discover this family and go back to their community and want to live this new experience with their family, their work, their friends, and also they want to give the experience to another boys and girls that have the same problem, like outside. All produce in order to sell.
Curious to find out more about what the fazendeiros thought about life on the farm, I asked Marco if he knew anyone who spoke English. Because, you see, these men and boys come from all over the world. Drugs, violence and crime know no race, religion or age. He darted off to shortly reappear with Antonio Carlos de Souza Godoy, who committed himself to the farm 1 year ago after he almost died from a drug overdose at the age of 60. I asked him to describe his experience on the farm with the younger boys and what effect he thought the Pope's visit would have on the community.
What is the general feeling among the boys about this visit that is not only Pope Benedict, there's also 3,000, are there 2,000 young boys from the fazendas
yes,
all over the world?
Around 3,000. They started to arrive yesterday. Day after tomorrow, we go to the barracks.
The tents on the hills.
The tents on the hills, yes. I know where my camp is.
And you'll all be camping out on these fantastic hills that are surrounding the farm.
Yes. We have to kneel down, okay, and say to the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God, whatever, I'm here.
Time had come for us to leave as the evening came down on the fazenda. Boys were coming in from the fields from their work, and Nelson was preoccupied with last-minute adjustments to the flowers around the white chapel, which had been built especially for the papal visit. The chapel of St. Clair, dedicated to the order who ran the farm for girls further down the valley. Marco accompanied us to the bus, still chatting away in Portuguese. Hundreds are coming, he said, from Germany, from Russia, and even from Africa, from our farms around the world, all to meet Pope Benedict. This is what I want to do when I grow up, he said. I want to work with boys like me, with children who never really had a chance. And smiling, he left us to return to the farm where his fellow fazendeiros were preparing for the evening meal. And I thought to myself that this had all come from one man's ability to overcome his fear and prejudices, his ability to really reach out and help. Marco, the last of a family devastated by the ills of society, was exactly the same age as me.
A big thank you to Ema for sharing with us her visit to the rehabilitation centre. And I like to shine the spotlight in a more general way on Brazil as a major gateway to world markets of illicit drugs produced in the Andean region, especially cocaine. Drug abuse is growing throughout the nation, and drug-related violence is a particularly serious national challenge. Brazil is also battling a widespread incidence of alcohol abuse, with some surveys suggesting that as many as 10% of the population have a drinking problem. Cecilia Iorio comes from Brazil and now heads the Brazilian program at CAFOD, the London-based aid and development agency for the Catholic bishops of England and Wales. She spoke to my colleague, Susie Hodges, about the problem of drug and alcohol abuse in Brazil.
Well, I think in poor neighbourhood, the precarious living condition just led people to try something to ease their suffering. Low level of schooling, lack of job and income or prospect, a lot of social and racial discrimination, these all constitute major factors for people going into drugs and alcohol. And many of those children, some of them, they still live with their family. But in their family, or their mom, or their dad, or brothers, they are into drugs. Then for them, it's quite difficult to stay out of this. And even when they stay out of the consumption, sometimes they don't stay out of the traffic because it's a way of getting some money, even to buy food and clothing. It's very difficult to move out of this situation when those people don't have a proper job because of the color, because of the lack of schooling. Then the only trade that accept then are the illegal trades like drugs and prostitution.
You've been listening to the head of the Brazilian program at CAFOD, Cecilia Iorio, speaking to Susie Hodges. At this point in the broadcast, I'd like to go back to the Marian Shrine of Aparecida and find out more about it with Emma McCarthy again.
Our Lady of Aparecida is the patron saint of Brazil, represented by a statue of the Virgin Mary located in the Basilica of Aparecida in the state of São Paulo. In Portuguese, the name is Nossa Senhora de Conceição Aparecida. In English, Our Lady of the Conception, who appeared. The shrine is the most visited in Brazil and one of the most visited in the entire Catholic world. As the patron saint of Brazil, Our Lady of Aparecida is also remembered by a national holiday, which is celebrated each year on October 12th. But the story of Our Lady of Aparecida begins in far back 1717. That year, news arrived at the village of Guarantingueta that the Count of Assumar, governor of the province of São Paulo, would be passing by the village on his way to Vila Rica. Thus, the village chieftain sent three fishermen, Domingos Garcia, Felipe Pedroso, and João Alves, to find fish in the Pariba River for a banquet to offer the Count. These men went down to the river but found nothing. After many unsuccessful attempts, they finally arrived at a place called Porto Idagatsu. João Alves threw his net into the water at that point, and there he brought back a statue of Our Lady, but without a head. He threw his net in again and soon reeled in the head of the statue. After that, according to the legend, the fish arrived in abundance for the three humble fishermen, and their nets were soon full. According to most sources, the image had been sculpted by a man known as Frei Agostino de Jesus, a monk from São Paulo known for his ability in artistic sculpture. The image, fished out of the waters of the Pariba River, was less than 3 feet tall and must have been underwater for years, considering it was dated back to 1650. The statue was dark brown in colour and covered by a stiff robe of richly embroidered thick cloth, so that only the Virgin's hands and face can be seen. For the next 15 years, the statue remained with Felipe Pedroso's family, and neighbours of the man came to venerate it. Slowly, a cult began to grow, and, according to the story, many prayers were answered. The fame of the extraordinary powers of Our Lady soon spread throughout the vast country of Brazil. The family were forced to build a prayer chapel, which soon became too small to house the thousands of pilgrims which flocked to pray before the statue. Around 1734, the priest of Guarantingueta built a chapel on the hill of Coquerios, and public visits began soon after. The number of faithful increased year after year, until finally in 1834, construction on a larger church, today's old basilica, was begun. In a solemn ceremony in 1904, the statue of Our Lady of Aparecida was crowned, and in 1908, the church received the title of Minor Basilica. And so the story unfolds, and 20 years later, in 1928, the village that had grown around the church on the hill of the Quaquerios became a municipality, until finally, in 1929, the Virgin was proclaimed Queen of Brazil and its official patron saint by Pope Pius XI. But because of the popularity of the statue, another much larger shrine soon became necessary, and thus in 1955 construction on this new basilica was begun. The architect designed the building in a form of a Greek cross. For its sheer size and grandeur, it took over 30 years to build. In 1980, still under construction, it was consecrated by Pope John Paul II, marking the centenary of the coronation of Nossa Senhora Aparecida in 2004, the late Pope wrote,
"In the course of the moving history of the dark image of their queen and mother for whom they have such deep love, men and women of all milieus and cultures have proclaimed her sovereign. In this place, almost three centuries ago, the Virgin arranged a special meeting with the Brazilian people. The vast multitude of people who flock to the shrine of their queen and patroness are obeying a genuine spiritual impulse and carrying out a deeply Brazilian act by filling this city in the Paraíba Valley with prayers and above all with faith, a faith that is simple, but without any doubt one that is all that faith should be. The search for God, sometimes distorted or imperfect, but touchingly sincere, deeply rooted and capable of sacrifice. A search for God through Our Lady."
Today, the Shrine to Our Lady of Aparecida is the second largest place of worship in the Catholic world, second only to St. Peter's, Vatican City. Each year, more than 8 million people make pilgrimages to the shrine. But this year's fifth conference of the bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean will test the capacity of the little city that has grown up around this small statue of Our Lady. Organizers say they expect at least 600,000 people and perhaps even over 1 million to gather for the opening Mass with Pope Benedict XVI in what is the world's largest Marian shrine.
Sou caipira, pira, fora nossa, Senhora de Aparecida.
And finally, I'd like to look forward at the highlight of this Brazilian journey, which began with a string of pastoral events in Sao Paulo, where, among other things, Pope Benedict met with young people and canonized the first Brazilian-born saint. This major event takes place on Sunday in Aparecida at the Basilica of Our Lady of Aparecida. It's there that the Holy Father will solemnly inaugurate the fifth General Conference of the Bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean, celebrating Mass and delivering a major speech. That's why, to prepare for this meeting, I'd like to tell the story of Selam, or Chelam, with the help of exclusive sound from our Vatican Radio archives. Discovering more about popes and general conferences of bishops from Latin America and the Caribbean. Beginning in July 1955, Conference Number 1, the Pope is Pius XII and the Latin American bishops are gathered in Rio de Janeiro. It's the days when popes didn't travel. So the Pope sends a radio message in Portuguese, highlighting the figure of Christ the Redeemer with arms outstretched in a marvelous, grandiose spectacle over the bay there.
Il spettacolo sovremodo grandioso. Il statua do Redentor, de braços constantemente abertos in cruz.
An historical event marked by Pope Benedict 50 years on from 1955. It was in a letter dated May 2005, addressed to the current president of this body, known as Chelam, or Selam, Cardinal Francisco Javier Errázuriz Ossa, Archbishop of Chile's capital, Santiago. I've asked Sean Patrick Lovett to read from the English translation of the text.
50 years ago, my venerable predecessor, Pius XII, fulfilling the desire expressed by the General Conference of Latin American Bishops, who met in Rio de Janeiro from the 25th of July to the 4th of August, 1955, instituted the Latin American Episcopal Council, Selam, with the purpose of sustaining the pastoral work of the bishops and at the same time of responding to some of the serious problems of the Church in Latin America.
Pope Benedict, in fact, quoted, as Sean has just read, from the 1955 apostolic letter Ad Ecclesiam Christi, often described as a sort of Magna Carta of this coordinating body, which currently has its seat in Colombia's capital, Bogotá, and which, according to its statute, serves as an organism of contact, reflection, collaboration, and service to the bishops' conferences of Latin America, all 22 of them. And following in the footsteps of Pius XII, Pope Benedict too inevitably focused on the figure of Christ.
Knowing that Jesus Christ is the center of the Catholic faith, and that the purpose of the new evangelization is contributing to ensure that every person encounters the living Christ, Salem has intensely inspired the work of the Latin American Episcopate, so that it testifies to what it means to be faithful disciples of Christ, and nourishes the proper faith through listening to the Word of God.
Words these that also echoed those of the first Pope to personally address a General Assembly of the Latin American Episcopal Conferences. Paul VI. It was 1968, the place Medellin, Colombia. He spoke in Spanish, focusing on fidelity to Christ, nourishing the proper faith through listening to the Word of God.
Saludamos y bendicimos a todos los obispos y ordinarios de América Latina.
Offering not only words of encouragement, but words of warning at a spiritual, social, and pastoral level. Speaking out, among other things, against the message of theologians who had lost their way. The two following general conferences are more recent. The Pope who travels to attend them is Pope John Paul II. The dates 1979, Puebla, Mexico, and 1992, Santo Domingo, where he also presided over celebrations to mark 500 years of the arrival of Christianity in Latin America, admitting on this occasion that the missionary church's ties to the Spanish conquest produced both light and shadow for the region's indigenous inhabitants. But this time it's Pope Benedict's turn to meet with this organization which counts 34 nations where over 550 million people live. And in Brazil, like that first time in 1955, perhaps not by the statue of Christ overlooking the bay of Rio de Janeiro, but many miles away by a river, the Rio Paraíba. Let's listen to the exact words he himself used in that letter to mark Selam's 50th birthday back in May 2005.
Selam will seek to strengthen the spirit of communion, of reciprocal charity, and of the Church's inner life. This unity in charity must shine forth in this very exercise of the apostolate among pastors, between them and consecrated persons in the religious life, and between the very persons who live their inner consecration of the charism proper to their community, all of which makes present the model of our Saviour, who came into the world not to be served, but to serve.
I'm wishing the Pope a very fruitful journey to Brazil during the next few days. That brings me up to time. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Bye for now. Be sure to check out our website. The address is www.vaticanradio.org.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.
Vento bendito que vem em nome do Senhor. Nosso povo te acolhe com amor. Bem-vindo, bem-vindo. Nosso povo te acolhe com amor. Tu que recordaste ao povo, Deus é amor. Vens anunciar de novo. Deus é amor.